The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you would turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter, and I want to talk to you today about what a child's view should be of their parent. What a child's view should be towards their parent. Now, I'm going to specifically speak to the younger folks who are maybe still at home and still working out their lives in terms of what they're going to be, where they're going to go, where they're going to go to school, whether you know who they're going to marry. So wonderful to hear that we have two of our younger folks that are now engaged. Praise God for that. I want to talk to you specifically focusing on that category, but it doesn't leave everybody else out, okay? Because I am a 45-year-old son of two parents that this still applies to. So our attitude towards our parents, now if you younger guys, especially the ones in that age bracket that I mentioned, don't feel like you're being picked on, because Lord willing, next week I want to talk about a parent's view of their children. So I'm going to pick on you real hard today, and then I'm going to pick on the parents real hard next week. I'm not going to pick on anybody, okay? I'm just going to share with you the Word of God. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? If a children should have a certain attitude towards their parents, parents should have a certain attitude towards their children. Amen? So let's consider from Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 16. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, now listen, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee. Don't you want it to go well with you? And Brother Tim, are you really saying that my attitude towards my parents hinges on whether or not my life will go well? And the answer from the Word of God is a resounding yes. Amen. Yes. Now, let's just put a disclaimer out there. I know that everybody's parents are not the same. And I know that there's even those here that and maybe in the past haven't had parenting like they should. Or maybe you know someone who hasn't had a parent that had the proper attitude towards their children. It's the same. It's still the same application of the respect for the position. It's the same thing as when a president is in office that you don't like. And I admit freely that for the past 8 years, that was the case with me. I didn't like our president. I didn't like his policies. And there's a lot of politicians out there today. I don't like their policies. I don't like what they support. But when it comes to the president, I pray for him because I respect the position. It's not about the man or the woman who is in the office. It is about the position of authority. So you may have not had the best parent. You may not have had the best situation. But still, look at what God says about the position. And let me say this. Where you are today, whatever your age is, I don't care if you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. You have many parents now because you're in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that himself. He said that when you are part of God's kingdom and God's church, you don't just have one brother or one sister anymore or one parent. You've got a multitude of fathers and mothers in the kingdom of God. And I wholeheartedly rejoice and support in what Brother Luke was telling us about the responsibility of the people in the city to the watchman. Call to the watchman. Call to him and say, what do you see? Call to your pastor and say, Brother Tim, what do you see in my life as a snare or as a problem? I'm not just talking to people in a specific age group. I'm talking about that's what the purpose of the ministry is. It's to minister to you the Word of God. It's not just to come and see a dog and pony show about how loud is he going to get or how excited is he going to get or not get. It's about ministering the Word of God. And sometimes you need to call out and say, what do you see? And same thing goes with our parents. Did you know, until my dad got in a worse and worse condition, you know, he's had Parkinson's for the last 12 years. And even still, I can't say in the last couple years because he's gotten a good bit worse. But even until he got really bad, I still go to my dad and I say, what do you think about this? And I've always said, you know, dad is the great dream killer. I love it. And I used to hate it. I'd say, dad, I'm thinking about playing my guitar and singing songs for a living. He said, son, are you serious? You're going to do that before you get your education? Because I'm telling you, you're going to come back to that education. But he was right. And he's the great dream killer. And I would say, hey, dad, I've got this idea about this thing I want to do on the farm. And I had several ideas. Because dad was a homemade genius, you know, a homemade engineer, homemade everything, you know, without having the actual education. He could do it all. And I'd say, what do you think about this? And there he'd go, boom, 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 boom. He'd start shooting it down. Have you thought about this? You thought about that. You thought about the other. You thought about this. And by that time, I was, I'm just a dummy. You know, now, he wasn't mean or ugly about it. But there's something to being a dream killer, especially when it brings us to reality. But just until a few years ago, until dad's just not healthy anymore. And mom, still, I still talk to mom about this, about that. See, it doesn't end just, you know, from a certain age. You grow out of that and then you don't ask them anymore, or you don't consult with them anymore, or you don't have to honor them anymore. That's not the way it works. So to be well with you and with me, even as a 45-year-old son, to be well with you means to honor, we must honor our parents. Now let's consider Proverbs 6 and 22. And we're going to park in the book of Proverbs here for a little bit and grab some other locations. But look at Proverbs 6, and let's begin reading in verse 20. This is parents and children. My son, the father says, the parent says, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. That's an image of something that's very close to you. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You see where that is supposed to have come from? It's supposed to have come from the parent. And you may say, well, I didn't have that. Well, if you've got children or expect to have children one day, you can give that to your children. That's the most valuable thing you'll ever give your children. Not a car when they turn 16. That's okay if that's what they get. The most, and not clothes and food on the table. The most valuable thing that you can give them, parent, is the instruction of reproofs of righteousness for the way of life. For it's a lamp. It lights the way. Amen. As opposed to what we read in Proverbs 30 and 17. Look at Proverbs 30 and 17. This is the other way that sadly many look at their parents. You know, as you turn into Proverbs 30 and 17, think about your relationship with your parents. How do you see that relationship? You may say, well, I've got my BFF over here, or my multiple BFFs, or my 1,000 friends on Facebook or Twitter, or my followers on Twitter, or my group that I hang out with. You know, these are these people here, and they're in this category. And then there's, you know, maybe an aunt, an uncle, a cousin that you like, or whatever. And then there's my parents over there. You know, as if they're in a separate category. I will confess and attest to you here today that in the group of friends that I have that are the most dear to me in my life, and really, in many ways, has always been that way, are my parents. I love them beyond the fact that they are my parents. I love them just because of who they are. Shouldn't that be our goal as parents? I'm slipping over to the parent side a little bit. You know, because the children grow up and are gone. I don't want to always just be looked at as a parent to my children. I also want to be their friend. I want to be their friend. So think about, you know, you got your BFF, you got your, you know, your group here, this little group here, that little group, this club, whatever. But where do your parents fit into that? I'm going to show you where they should not fit in. That's for sure. Proverbs 30 and 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. That's a really gross example, is it not? Let's break it down. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father. The word mock right there is an interesting word. It means to imitate a foreigner. That's the basic root meaning. It would be as though if somebody came in here that didn't speak our language and didn't look like us, And we just kind of went off to the side, and they were talking in some language we couldn't understand, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And we just kind of go outside and go, man, blah, 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 you know. That's to imitate a foreigner. You know, to make mouths at someone, to mock someone. If you have ever been tempted to mock someone or to make fun of someone, then you need to read the Bible a little more. Because that is one of the things that God condemns the most, and is mocking others. And especially mocking a parent. Now this idea here of mocking a father, it carries the idea of mocking a father even in his presence. I cannot imagine a scenario at any time in my life, especially when I was in, you know, 10 or in my teen years or even in my college years, of where Harold McCool would have told me, now son, you know, you need to do this, and I'd have gone blah, blah, blah. I mean, that would have been bad for me. Even at 20-something years old, and his biceps still sticking out there, you know. I'm telling you, that would have been bad. It's bad at any age, but he would have took a hold of me and jerked a knot in my head and probably jerked knots elsewhere on my body. But that's the idea there of one who mocks their father, even in their presence. Now don't get me wrong. We sit around, the McCool family sits around, and we have good laughs, and we'll say something funny about what Daddy did. He'll say something funny about what we did. We're not mocking each other. We're just having a good time and laughing about things that have happened in the past. That's not mocking. But when this is the idea that a parent says, a father says, you need to do this. And the son just said, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're always running your mouth. I'm not doing what you say. I tell you, that's a bad place to be. And it says the mother, when it comes to the mother, despising to obey your mother. The word despise is associated with the word for a fool. It says a fool despises wisdom and instruction. And this person despises to obey their mother. Now, we've all been there, even as little bitty fellas. And it's an ugly thing to see, even when a little bitty fella, when a mom says, you need to do this. And that little bitty fella just says, takes off running and does the opposite. Or, you know, don't get a cookie out of the cookie jar. Or don't slap your brother or don't hit your sister and whatever. And he just goes right on hitting. That's a little bitty fool. Did you know that? He's a little fool. And he needs to be taught. But can you imagine a 17-year-old or a 19-year-old or a 25-year-old like that? That's a terrible, ugly picture that is painted in the Word of God. And notice what it says about the result. This is interesting. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Did you know that you have ravens in your life? Love Brother Luke's description of Satan and how subtle he is. And I want you, when you think about, we don't really see many ravens, but we see vultures. That's what we see. Birds of prey. Birds that eat on dead things. I'll never forget Mr. Bubba Wade, who passed away here not too long ago. His son was my dear friend in high school. And about 20 years ago, 15, 17 years ago, Mr. Bubba was riding a horse at their farm out near Carrollton. And he was thrown from the horse and suffered some serious injuries. As a matter of fact, some of the family said that was kind of the beginning of his health problems. 15, 17 years later, eventually, some of those complications, you know, he eventually died. One thing led to another. One thing messed up, and then another thing messed up. But he fell off the horse, and he broke his pelvic bone. I mean, he couldn't move. I mean, it was impossible for him to move. He's just laying there out in the field at their little place, their farm over there in Carrollton. And Mr. Bubba said, after a while, he didn't have a cell phone or nothing like that. He lay there for hours. And after a while, he looked over there, and there's a vulture landed on the fence. Where'd that thing come from? Out of the blue, all of a sudden, a man's laying down, and this vulture shows up, and then another one shows up. And you know what those vultures were thinking? Hey, we're going to have us a meal here a little while when this guy finally dies. They don't care if it's a possum or a raccoon or a man laying there. And that's the thing about vultures and ravens. They just show up out of the blue, don't they? Where are they? I'm going to tell you where they are. They're circling way overhead. They're circling up there somewhere so high that you can't see them. And they're looking out for somebody that's in trouble like that so they can come and they can do their thing. In this scenario right here, the picture is of someone who is being punished and being tied up to a tree. This is really gross, but it happened. They would tie them to a tree. And I'm not talking about crucifixion. Before there was crucifixion, they would tie somebody to a tree where they couldn't move, or they'd bury them in the ground where they couldn't move up to their neck. And guess what happens? Here come the birds. And they literally, while that person is still alive, get that now, they pluck out their eyes. It's nasty. I mean, it's just gross to think about. Now, you say, what in the world does that have to do with me, a person despising and mocking their father and mother? Because that's what will happen to the child of God in this life who refuses, who doesn't have the proper attitude towards their parents. They will lose their eyesight to the ravens. Now, you have ravens in your life. Ravens are predators. Ravens are those that prey upon you when you are weak. And there is no weaker state that you can get in than to despise your parents. So, also let me say this. The ravens were unclean animals. Leviticus 11 and 13. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read this to you. It's a little bit humorous as you read it. But the Lord is naming clean and unclean animals. Animals you can eat, animals you can't eat. And I know some of you, after I read this, are going to want to line up to the table to eat these animals. Okay? I know you're going to as I read this. Now, these are ones you couldn't eat. It says in Leviticus 11, 13, these are they which ye shall have an abomination among birds, among fowls. God said, you can't eat these birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. They weren't just unclean. They were an abomination. It says the eagle, can't eat an eagle. Sorry, folks. You can't eat the ossifrage, whatever that is, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite. Yeah, he's not talking about a kite you fly, kids. There really is a bird called a kite. And after his kind, every raven after his kind. You couldn't eat a raven. One of the main reasons is because these animals ate dead things. And that is something that could actually carry, you know, you've heard of the bird flu? That's something that could actually carry over into a person, some kind of bacteria that these animals might eat. And now watch this. You can't eat an owl, and you can't eat a nighthawk, and you can't eat the cuckoo. The cuckoo and the hawk after his kind. I know some of you are dying to go home and eat your cuckoo bird that you have in your little cage. And the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl and the swan and the pelican and the gear eagle and the stork and all. He goes on that. And he says, yet these may ye eat of. I'll just throw this in here for free. No charge on this. He says, these are the type of flying four-legged or legged creatures that you can eat. He says, you can eat the locust. So, when you go out to eat for lunch today, you might want to ask for some locusts. And you can also eat the bald locust. I mean, you know, hey, as if they weren't nasty enough with the little hairs on them, you can eat a bald locust. And then you can also, hey, this is even better. You can eat the beetle. You can eat a beetle. Don't you want to go home and eat a beetle? And the grasshopper. Oh, man, we got a lot of grasshoppers around the house. Put a little chocolate on them. I'm sure they'd be good. I don't understand that, but those were clean, flying things. I know y'all are dying to go home and eat them. Throw that in there for free. The raven was an unclean animal because it ate carrion. It ate dead things. And listen, it wouldn't wait until you were dead. If you couldn't move, it'd eat you even before you died. And it said it would eat out your eyes if we despise. And this is not a literal thing, okay? This is a symbolic thing that says you will lose your eyesight. You will lose your vision in this life. And your lamp will be darkened and you won't be able to see your path because of your attitude towards your parents. Listen to this in Proverbs 30 and 11. Back up just a few verses. And tell me if we're not living in this generation. Tell me if we're not living in this generation. And I'm not just singling out a particular age. Just think about our generation. There is a generation that curses their father. You know, some people say, well, this is the millennial generation. And then there's the baby boomer generation. And then there's the Generation X. And I don't even know what I'm a part of. I'm just a part of the generation nothing, I guess. I don't want to be a part of this generation by any means. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. To bless means to kneel as an act of adoration. Don't care a thing about their father. Don't care a thing about their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. To be pure means to be bright and to be clear and to be uncontaminated. Like the Pharisee in Luke 18, he said, I thank thee, O Father, I'm clean, I'm pure. I give, I do this, I don't do that, I stay straight with the Lord. And the Lord said, that man's filthy. And we're living in a generation that is pure in their own eyes. It doesn't matter if you're transgender. It doesn't matter if you're a homosexual or sodomite. It doesn't matter if you're a fornicator. And pretty soon it won't matter if you're a pedophile. Mark my words on that. That's the kind of general. And if that's you, the general, I'm not talking about you. But if that's the way a person is, according to the way that the culture is, It's okay. You're pure. Just be who you are. Be what you are. If you want to wake up one day and be a boy, and the next day you want to wake up and be a girl, think that you're a girl, as the old philosopher says, whatever I think, therefore I am. That is so sad and so ungodly. It doesn't matter what you think you are. It just matters the reality of what you are. That's the truth. That's not dealing with reality. And they say, well, whatever I am, you know, if I am this way one day and this way the next day, or if I'm transgender, or if I'm homosexual or whatever, that's just who I am. And I'm pure. There's nothing wrong with being that way. But let's don't leave it just there. Now, it can be a fornicator. You know, it says of the adulterous woman in Proverbs, it says she wipeth her mouth and say, I didn't do anything wrong. I have done no wrong. See, she's pure in her own eyes. Oh, that's a terrible place to be. Are you telling me, Brother Tim, that it all started with my relationship with my parents? That's what this says right here. People that get in that condition, it starts with their relationship with their parents. They didn't just wake up one day and say, that's the way I am. Now, let me just throw this in there. How does God feel about children despising parents? Well, this is sort of interesting. But under the Mosaic law, Deuteronomy 21, it was a death penalty. It was a death penalty for a child to dishonor and disobey their parents. Go and read it. It's really interesting. It's not talking about a little bitty fella, you know, a little five-year-old that disobeys. It's talking about a young man or young woman. It specifies young men. It specifies young men, and it says that if they will not obey and honor their parents, it specifically gives a scenario where a young man becomes a drunkard or an addict to something. And God says if they refuse to obey their parents and to honor their parents, then they would take that young man in front of all the assembly of the people, and he would be stoned to death. Listen, thank God we don't live under that anymore. We were under the Mosaic law today, there'd be hundreds of people being stoned on a daily basis. We don't live under law. We live under grace. But in a sense, there are times even when a parent has to stone their own children. I don't mean physically, but they have to sever. If that child disrespects and mocks and despises to a certain degree, the sad reality is, and the thing that we don't see very much, is that parent just has to say, enough. Enough. This is where it's got to stop. And it's biblical to do that. It's hard to do that. Look at David that Brother Luke mentioned with Absalom. Even when Absalom was in abject rebellion against him and trying to kill him, he said, take it easy on my son. Take it easy on him. Because he had a natural love for his son. But Jesus endorsed that in the New Testament in Matthew 15 and 4. He said, have you not read the law where it says to honor your parents? And if you don't, then they must die the death. Even in the New Testament, Jesus embraced the Old Testament law, which he wrote, by the way. Let me give you a few examples now in closing about our attitude as children. I speak of myself, our attitude as children towards our parents. Let me give you some bad examples. And think about the ravens circling. Where are the ravens seeking to pick out your eyes in this life? They're there. And they'll start by picking at the relationship that you have with your parents. Or the relationship that you ought to have, that if you need to start it today, you can go home and work on it today. What about Ham, one of the sons of Noah? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham was the son of Noah. And Ham, in some way or other, we don't know for sure, because God mercifully spared us from too many explicit details. But Ham goes and does something, sees something about his father. Unfortunately, when his father was drunk, he was drunk and uncovered. I tell you, there's things that happen to people when they get drunk that they can barely remember, don't even hardly know happened. And Noah, he's drunk and he's uncovered. He doesn't have any clothes on. And Ham goes in there and something happens. At the least, there was a mocking that took place. Look at that. You know, he's making fun of he's despising his father. And he was cursed. Noah cursed his own son because of what Ham said and did to him. We don't know the full extent of what that was, but Ham's eyes were picked out by the ravens. Ham's own attitude of mockery within his heart was his raven. What about Lot? If you've read the account of Lot, you might say, well, Lot didn't have a father. That's true. His father died, but Abraham became his father. And what about Lot? Did Lot listen to Abraham? Did Lot obey his... Abraham adopted Lot. So Abraham is his father. Did he obey him? No. And this is the sad part about Lot, which we've talked about before. It took 20 years, 15 to 20 years to see the destructiveness of Lot not listening to his father Abraham, his uncle slash adoptive father. It took 20 years to finally see Lot sitting in the city of Sodom, sitting on the throne of judgment or a seat of judgment, having no ability, no influence or anything, and his family ruined and destroyed. Why? His eyes were picked out. What picked out his eyes? What was the raven that got him? It was his lust for prosperity. What about Samson? Boy, that's a literal one right there, isn't it? What happened to Samson? Do you think that as Samson lay there in the lap of Delilah with his long hair flowed over Delilah, with his head laying in her lap and her stroking his hair, and here come some scissors, started cutting that hair after he revealed his secret. Do you really think that Samson thought, this woman's a raven, she's about to pick my eyes out? You see how it creeps up? It creeps up in a subtle way. So much so that Samson wakes up and she says, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he runs out there. He says, I will shake myself. I'll be like a lion and I'll tear him to pieces like I killed 1,000 Philistines. And the first time he hits one, it's over with. And you know what they did? They put his eyes out. Delilah was Samson's raven. And then, of course, what about Absalom? What about Absalom? The wicked son of David. It's almost humorous. One of Absalom's, he had several ravens. He was prideful, undisciplined, untaught. He was just a prideful young man. But he loved his hair. He had some good looking hair, apparently, for those days. It says they'd poll his hair every year. You know how people sometimes will donate their hair, you know, so that they can use that for preparing like wigs and things for folks that have maybe had cancer or something like that. That's just a very noble thing. Well, they pulled Absalom's hair, and it was so heavy that, you know, they could barely carry it. Every year his hair would grow, and he'd throw it out there. He's proud. Look at my hair. Well, it's kind of interesting that was one of the ravens that caused his death, because his hair got caught in the tree when he was trying to get away from David's army. Can you picture Absalom hanging there? By his hair in the tree, his hair so thick that it get caught in the limbs. That's a good lesson for us guys tonight. You don't want to have hair that long. You might get your hair caught in the limb sometime. Somebody come along and think you're a squirrel and shoot you in the heart. That's what happened to Absalom. They come along and see him there. They didn't think he was a squirrel. They knew he was the snake that was trying to kill David. And they killed him. They killed him hanging there in the tree like a squirrel, hung by his hair. That was his raven. But then at the same time, there's some good examples from the Word of God too, about people, children that had great attitudes towards their parent. What about Ruth? Boy, she had a great attitude towards her parent, Naomi. That was her mother-in-law. She followed her across the miles of the desert and into a foreign land where she wasn't even known and didn't even look like the other girls. And she listened to her when it came to who to court or who to date or who to hang out with. She listened to her blessed mother. And look how her situation turned out. She is the Cinderella of the Old Testament. That's Ruth. She's the Cinderella of the Old Testament. From rags to riches. From nothing to Boaz, one of the greatest men that you read about in the Old Testament. From being a foreigner to the land of Israel to becoming a great, great, great times however many grandmother to Jesus Christ? That's the Cinderella story of all time right there. What about Timothy in the New Testament? So you can find all kinds of demographics in the Word of God. Somebody says, well, I didn't have a father. I didn't have a mother. Or my father was, I've had a father, but I was like an orphan because they didn't have any influence on me or whatever. Listen, you can find all of the categories. You can find a Ruth who, her parent was her mother-in-law. You can find a Lot whose parent was his adoptive uncle, Abraham. And then you got Timothy, who didn't even have a dad to speak of. And who raised Timothy? It was his mother and his blessed grandmother. That's what Paul said over in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, I praise God for the faith of your mother and your grandmother, because from a child they taught you the Holy Scripture. And he listened and he learned and he loved it. And ultimately, what about Jesus Christ? What about Jesus? He says, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And who is him that sent him? It was the Father. It was his Father. He says, I'm here to accomplish what my daddy sent me to do. Oh, that's a great attitude towards the Father, isn't it? It's a perfect attitude. Okay, we're closing. Children, and I say children, I say young adults, I say little children, I say children 45, whatever your age may be. And praise God if your parents are still here. Some of you don't have your parents here anymore. I'm so thankful mine are still here so I can still talk to them. What is our attitude towards our parents? If you've got them, thank God for them. It is the height of foolishness to have a bad attitude towards our mother or our father, if only for this reason. That's how you got here. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. You say, well, I don't like them. I'm not. You wouldn't be here. And then on top of that, talking freely and deeply and honestly with your parents is a wonderful thing. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I can't tell you how many hours we've set up. I'd be so tired and want to go to sleep, but here comes somebody that needs to talk about something. Come on. Come on. I'll get over it, go running, and wake up the next day. Come and talk to me. Open and let me tell you something. It is not appropriate for our friends and our BFF and our followers on Twitter and our out here in the world, our classmates, our cousins, our neighbors, or anybody, it is not appropriate for those people to know more about us as children than our own parents. Amen. It's not appropriate. You say, can my parents really have anything to do with my love life, my romantic life? You better count on it. You better count on it. How does a young person view their parents? You may say, well, I'm looking for a spouse. Let me give you a great litmus test if you're looking for a spouse one day. And even if you're not looking for a spouse yet, if you're just looking to have a godly friend who's male or female, how do they view their parents? Whenever you're standing there and the parents come around, you know, and you're talking and whatever, do they, you know, do they go rigid? I'm not saying anything. You know, or they say, hey, there's my mom and dad. There's my mom and dad. Hey, you know, hey, come on, let me talk. You know, I don't mind them being there. I'll tell you one thing. I'll just give you a personal testimony. I was never embarrassed of my parents. Never. Never embarrassed of them. I wanted them to be around. I wanted them to know what was going on. And I'll tell you this, too. There's several times in my life, and I've given you examples before, when my dad said, son, you can't go with those people. And you can't be friends with this group or with that group. He told me that, and it rubbed me the wrong way as 17, 15-year-old, 18-year-old. It rubbed me the wrong way. I said, what does he think? What does he see that I don't see? Well, he was a watchman up there on that wall, and he saw something I couldn't see. Amen. And I'd go, okay, all right, okay. But deep down in my heart, I knew he knew something I didn't know. And to be honest with you, I really saw what he saw, too. I just kind of wanted to ignore it. That's the way you are when you're a certain age. But the saddest and most foolish people on this planet, children of God, are the ones that ignore that kind of advice and just go on with it. It lasts all through life, and they're blind. Their eyes have been picked out by the ravens. Listen to me, all ages, children. You're all children here, right? You might be an 80-year-old child, but you're the child of a parent. I'm not picking on children. Not picking on them. I'm just trying to share with you how important it is in the Word of God to build that relationship with your parents. I still want to build the relationship with my parents now, especially when it comes to my dad, for a little different reason. Because from the way things look, you know, his time, he's not going to be around as long as he has been, I don't think. Some of you know what I'm talking about. So while I've got the time left, even at 45, I want to keep building that relationship. So the last thing that I think about him and the last interaction that we have will be that pleasant and pleasing. Oh, it's been good to fellowship with this man who is my father or this woman who is my mother. Let's think about these things and build those relationships. We don't want the ravens to pick out our eyes.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.